Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome back to Behind the Veil. We had some technical glitches earlier, but we have figured those all out, and now we're back to you live. So again, welcome to Behind the Veil, a show that provides insight into the world of weddings. My name is Keith Willard. I'm the host and creator of the show, as well as an event planner here in South Florida. Today, we're going to be talking about weddings during the age of COVID. We've got a beautiful roundtable of wedding planners to talk all about the do's and don'ts of wedding planning, as well as what are our responsibilities when it comes to hosting these events. Does it happen before? Does our responsibilities end after? You know, how long do we need to trace the guests? All of those things, as well as what are some of the budget issues that we may be facing that are really specific to COVID? But let me introduce my co-host. Hello, Brooke. It's welcome back.
Hello, hello. There's no helicopters now.
Oh my goodness. The live shows are always kind of interesting because we never quite know what's going to happen. But you know, 34 episodes into this, this is the first time that's ever happened. So I am going to count my blessings on that. So let me introduce our two planners. Our first is Gladys Mizrahi with Indigo Events. Hi, Gladys. It's great to see you.
It's good to see you too, Keith.
Oh my goodness. I'm doing great. And you know, obviously you're having your own technical issues on your end as well. So it seems to be just that kind of Tuesday. So hello and welcome. But you know, we'll work through. We're planners. This is what we do. We make things happen.
Correct. I'm actually hearing a live helicopter outside.
Oh, perfect. So it's happening to you as well. All right, Bettina Bizarin. I knew I was going to mess up your last name. With Busy Bee Events, Bettina is also another event planner that has been doing events and weddings during the age of COVID. So she joins the rest of us as actual planners that have actually created and successfully planned events while keeping people safe. So Bettina, I am so glad to have you as part of the show as well.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to talk about it. It's definitely an interesting topic.
Yeah. So, you know, again, guys, I apologize for the technical issues that we had at the beginning, but it doesn't make the show any less important because honestly, there's going to be a lot of people out there that are going to be looking at us. And I don't know if you have gotten the same kind of pushback that I've gotten from people that said, are you actually being a responsible planner by doing weddings during COVID? And Bettina, what's your answer to that?
I think it's the way you approach it. And you make sure you have your safety precautions followed through. A lot of times, you know, I'm also in the restaurant and bar industry. And essentially, like, if you're going out to restaurants and sitting inside in a restaurant, and especially in South Florida, you are, you know, taking a little bit more of a risk than a wedding, because most wedding planners are following protocols a lot more closely than others. So, you know, as long as you follow protocol, 6 feet distance, and I know this whole show is going to be discussing it. I've even had weddings to go to the extent of being tested, having their guests get tested before the wedding so that people felt a little rest assured. But I truly think events still can be going on right now if done correctly.
Well, and Gladys, what about you? What do you think about that? You know,
I guess the biggest challenge is getting all the parties together to agree that you need to take certain extreme protocols to keep everybody safe.
Yeah.
Because not everybody is on the same page. Look at outside, that not everybody is agreeing to wear a mask. So let's start from there.
Right. I mean, honestly, because, you know, weddings are messy enough as it is. And now all of a sudden you're going to throw in a whole bunch of people with very different political backgrounds and think of masks in much different ways. Some people very, politicize it. And then you throw in a bunch of alcohol and nervousness. You know, I'm doing a wedding this Saturday and we purposely are putting it on the roof of the building with a tent to try to hopefully reduce some of the anxiety that some of the guests may have about being in a ballroom. I mean, but let's start with what Gladys just mentioned. Gladys, you talked about, you know, getting people together to have a concise decision. Who is involved in that decision?
That's the problem. Now, remember when we used to do, in a normal way, the weddings.
Right.
That you don't know if you're working, the decision maker was the bride, the groom, the mother, the other mother, the in-laws, who's paying for it or who's actually doing the actual, making sure that the actual decisions move forward.
Right.
So in this case, you have all that plus the fact that there may be someone in the family that does not agree with what they're doing. So I think the biggest challenge and the first challenge is for us is getting the whole wedding party on the same page.
Right, right. And then, okay, so Bettina, I mean, when it comes to getting the whole wedding party on the same page, I mean, when you're talking to your couples, are you including like the mother-in-law in these discussions about, you know, the fact that the wedding's moving forward? Because I can tell you right now that the wedding that I have on Saturday, the mother's coming just to the ceremony and is not coming to the reception. She absolutely flat out refuses to take that risk. And that is absolutely her right to do so, you know, but, you know, I had to prep my couple to say, look, that's probably going to be a response that you get from some of your guests, and that's okay.
Yeah. I mean, you know, truth of the matter is I always speak to moms before and after COVID. So it's not necessarily involving the family. Like, I do understand that the economy of like the mind frame of safety, but what we're doing in different weddings is that we're keeping separation as well. If it's truly a matter of keeping older guests more susceptible to getting sick guests, we would keep them maybe on a balcony overseeing dance floor downstairs. We would keep them right in a separate area, or even, you know, those type of guests outside and others inside. There are different ways we can establish who's being more conscious than others and who's more susceptible, having the green, yellow, and red factors of not just bracelets, but now there's cups and there's napkins to indicate how closely you want to be, or like how close you want to stand to a person. There are ways to go about at a wedding to establish how they feel without necessarily saying it out loud. My favorite way is definitely, and it hasn't been accepted among all of my couples, but when we do residential weddings, we ask guests, I mean, there will be like 60 to 80 guests, but would ask them to get tested beforehand, do the rapid test and send in the results. And each wedding that we've done requiring that, at least 4 guests have found out that they didn't even know that they had it. So, you know, yeah.
Wow. Yeah, so, I mean, 4 seems like a high percentage.
It is a high number for like 60 to 80 guest count. It's a pretty high number.
Right.
So it's a fact of the matter that sometimes people have and they don't even know it. So taking those extra steps, and I definitely see, so I've had a lot of bridal parties call the couple irresponsible for doing it right now.
Right.
And, you know, the fact of the matter is people just want to get married and move on with their life, you know, want to have kids, want to just buy a house, want to move on from their wedding, and they are doing the best they can. And, you know, for me and my platforms I use, it's like, understand where they're coming from. If you feel so unsafe, there are Zoom capabilities. Like, luckily we live in the age of technology where we can do so many things and still be involved without actually having to be there.
Right. Well, Gladys, what are precautions are you putting in place?
Well, actually, there's 2 things that we can do besides having all the safety measures. There's another way to bring in that mother that doesn't want to go to the reception, and that is virtually.
Right.
Based on all our technical difficulties, I'm trying to email you the picture so you can show it. And how we can bring in those people that really want to be part of it, but are afraid of it. And that is okay as well. That is fine, that if they can see the wedding and be part of it in a virtual way, then we can make it happen.
Well, and I think that's the important part here is that, you know, life didn't stop when this all happened. I mean, we all paused for at least 6 months. I know it was a good 6 months before I actually even started to successfully even talk about doing weddings again. And then it was overly precautious. We did everything to be overly precautious with talking to as many people. I mean, I think we listened to too many opinions, honestly, at the beginning. I don't know. Do you guys feel the same way? Because I felt like at the beginning we were being too politically correct. And we were like, okay, let's ask the first cousin that has a drinking problem. you know, I'm like
love that cousin.
That's advice.
Exactly. I mean, maybe we shouldn't be talking to, you know, double dipping Eddie. You know, that maybe that's not the person that we maybe that's not the person that we should have been like involving in our conversation. But now that we're here, I like that, Bettina, I like the fact that you brought up about the rapid testing, because there are a couple companies here in South Florida that do the rapid testing. I actually brought it up on Gladys's show last week about the fact that you get test results in about 15 minutes, but that you have to make sure that everybody that's invited knows that they're going to be tested.
Right. There are ways to go about it. I feel that, and I'm sure we can discuss, invitations have been based on how traditional and non-traditional you are, right?
Right.
So I've been telling couples, I think a new trend that we're going to go towards is not only Friday weddings, because there's only so many Saturdays next year people can take now that they're postponing and have been postponing since March, but also including an online invitation. So if they were to think about postponing in the future, if they have a wedding coming up in January, February, and don't know where the world's going to, having that wedding invitation as well online gives you the accessibility to communicate to the guest pretty immediately. And you can do the same for the test as well. You can inform them, like for example, the wedding that we did, we sent them the link and gave them a play-by-play of what to do once they're on that link, and to send in results. And for the guests that are just coming in that morning, the rep results are pretty quick. But I do hear the fact of the matter is, you know, the results, how true are they, right? So that's also a conversation that's been brought up. And I've noticed, I mean, I'm not a medical professional, but I've noticed it's self-administered. These rapid tests are typically self.
Interesting.
Based on where you go, like Walgreens and CVS, self-administered. And I just believe that, you know, taking that extra step will also make people feel more comfortable. Does it make people not be able to wear a mask still at the wedding? Because sometimes they say, well, everyone's been tested, now we don't have to wear masks. I still feel taking that extra precaution.
No.
There's
a lot of false positives. So that's
exactly
false positive and false negative.
Right.
So that's where our responsibility comes in.
Exactly.
That's where we need to enforce the whole thing.
Exactly.
But you know, as event planners, is our job as an enforcement agency? Do you feel like our job is an enforcement agency, or is that part of our responsibility now during this new age?
Now, yes. Before, it was coordination and making sure that everything was okay. But now part of the extra things that we need to do is have extra staff to actually enforce that everybody is doing what they're supposed to.
Right. And then when you talk about extra staff, are you including that in your budgets, guys? I mean, because, I mean, we're talking about a new world of budgets that, you know, have all sorts of great new materials in it, because testing is not cheap. It's not. And if you're going to supply it for your guests, you're going to spend at least $100 a person to get that test.
There are some companies that actually are lowering the price depending on the quantity.
Right.
I got a quote the other day for, it was like, I think $46, but it's $46 per person.
Oh, well, but send me that.
The menu is 100 something.
We want some filet mignon chicken real fast for that.
I know. We did want some filet chicken real quick, because $46 a test is awesome. I mean, you know, when it was $100.
It was obvious
thing. it's cheaper than 100, but it also adds $46 per person to the whole budget.
Right.
Well, so if you have 100 people, that's nearly $5,000 right there.
But how do you explain that to your clients?
That's how our original conversation started.
Yeah. So you include that as part of the original conversation.
On the same page. Yes.
When you're saying, okay, we're going to move, if you want to move forward with the wedding, here are some budget issues that we need to talk about.
Because remember that when you're in the wedding, in the middle. Like if everything goes well, the wedding was amazing. If there's one little oops, because I call the glitches oops, then it's the planner's fault.
Right.
And I have no problem taking the blame. But in this case, the blame is deadly. So
that's the part. How do you feel about that?
Well, what specifically about that?
Well, like about taking the blame, like, you know, if where does that actually end up when we say, okay, if something messes up, does that include if somebody has a false negative and actually is positive? Is that a blame that we need to take on?
Definitely not. I feel that planners are always the scapegoat. And, you know, we do our best, the best we can, but deciphering medical, if there's a false positive versus
negative. It wasn't about that. No, it wasn't about that. It's about having the conversation that if they don't agree on the testing or the extra budget, it's really our responsibility because somebody can get sick.
Right. Yeah, well, that's part of the
One. No, be false positive, forget it. That's not enough. That's really not enough. Totally out.
We did our best.
But keeping the people safe, I think it's really our responsibility.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, on my budget sheet, I already include like an extra line item now of favors being the hand sanitizers. Like, you know, I think hand sanitizers are, you know, sure, not the best favor, but at least useful before, during, and after the wedding. Right. And then also keeping like the test. I've been reached out to like on-site nurses that are starting to slowly seep in. I don't know the validity of it just yet. I've been reached out to about it. So I feel that soon we're going to have a lot of different resolutions to having events and still being safe about it. But yes, keeping it within budget, like, and that first phone call, it's absolutely that. But also I try to prepare future clients mentally as well, because that's part of our job, mental and physical and budget. Yeah. Mentally, you know, accept that they might have some pushback from family or from people that saying like, or you're having a wedding coming up, or, you know, just these type of opinions. And, you know, if you truly, truly are affected by it, just be mentally aware that it might come this way. And same with being in the industry. I've been definitely approached by different people saying their own opinion. As long as you go about it safely, you know, like safety precautions, it's just the same as going to a restaurant, indoor restaurant in Fort Lauderdale on Las Olas.
Well, you know, and opinions are like assholes. I'm going to just put it out there, guys. I'm just putting it out there because honestly, I mean, as we are all adults here, we all have to make a decision. And I say this constantly for my clients. I'm like, you cannot be everybody's parent. That is not your responsibility. They are adults and they need to make the decision that is best for them. And all we can do is do as much prep work as possible to keep people safe. But at the end of the day, once we put those kind of logistics in place, it's the person coming that's being invited. It's their decision on whether or not to show up. They should not ever feel like they're obligated or being forced to. And that's something I think that I have to talk to my clients ahead about too, is you can't force people to come to a wedding during this time. You just can't.
No, but also you need to educate them. You need to educate your client on all the possible ways. One of the things that you can tell your clients is that since you had to cut the list, like before, remember it was, okay, let's say they had 300 people. I remember you told me that you had 300 and now it was cut down to 70, something like that.
Right.
So what about sending something really nice and put it in the budget? Like, I wish you could have come to my wedding. I understand we're thinking of you, but we want to keep you safe. So it's like saying, please don't come, but I'm thinking about you. It's like, please don't come in a very nice way.
Right.
I wanted to invite you.
Becky, you're still staying home.
Yeah, please stay home.
And something, but that is some, that is part of the details.
Yeah,
something that is part of keeping your list and your family and your friends saying, look, I'm thinking about you.
So, but do you know what's a creative way somebody's done that? And,
yeah.
And so, you know what I mean?
Yeah, we've done it. We've actually sent gifts to the, like, gifts that they can wear on the Zoom call. So we'll have the Zoom going on and they all will wear, like, a gift sent from the wedding. And everyone's part of the wedding because they have this gift, whether it be, like, glasses or hats or, you know, boas. It's just, like, part of the wedding so that you're still part of it, even though it's through Zoom. And then also there's always an opportunity to celebrate the one-year anniversary the year after. Although you can't do it this year and you just want to get married, maybe, like, you can have, like, a celebration later on because of all the money saved from, you know, just doing it without, with less people. So I say it's not always just over with the wedding. You can always celebrate again when things have, you know, lessened and not as chaotic as it is now. You know, there's always an opportunity in the future to celebrate again.
But do you think people are actually saving a lot of money? Because
that was my question.
Because, you know, we're adding so many other details to it that, you know, do you find that your budgets are balancing out because you have less people? That means you have obviously less food and beverage, but then maybe we're having to do a tent. Maybe we're having to add masks. Maybe we're having to add sanitizing. Maybe we're having to add the test. You know, what's your experience? Because Bettina, I know that you've had several very successful, I think even recently a bar mitzvah, if I.
Yeah. We've had quite a few. Yeah, we've had one in July, the day before Miami was shut down in Miami. We've had them consistently and safely, even to the fact like where we had, you know, police officers on site to make sure that, you know, everyone felt like everything was in control and with masks on the dance floor. Because personally, I don't believe like necessarily planners are to enforce the masks on the dance floor. Right. I do believe vendors should wear their masks, especially catering. All vendors, my staff especially, we wear a mask even though our hours are 10 to 14 hours long. That mask stays on our face over the nose.
Yeah.
And you know, keep that on the whole time, including all vendors. Like sometimes I see some serving staff like slowly like dip below the nose and I'll go up and be like, wait, you're serving food. You know, so
you know, when I see somebody's mask below their nose, I said, you might as well have your pants on. That's right. About what you're talking about, because it's as exposed as your private parts would be. So
put
your mask over your nose, for God's sake.
Get over the nose. Yeah.
Exactly. It just drives me crazy. And then you see people that pull their mask down to talk. And I'm like,
no,
hello. You know, but so what are some of the things that you're putting into place to kind of just gently remind people? I mean, I'm a little bit more forceful. I go over and I'll say, put on your mask, you know, because typically I've gotten very close with the family at that point. So I probably know all the characters already at that point. And I think you two will agree that you've already probably met all the crazy uncles and aunts at that point, that you can go over to Aunt Regina and say, okay, you know, the rules apply to you as well, sweetie. Put it back on.
You're not the VIP.
Right. You're not the VIP. But,
but I am Regina.
Yeah. Don't you like that name, Regina? Anyway, but what are some of the subtle ways that you guys are using in order to just kind of remind people so maybe that you're not having to go up and remind them personally?
I put the mask in a basket and I'll walk up with the basket. I'm like, oh, you forgot your mask.
That's nice. I was thinking Dorothy with her dog. It's like, okay, here, don't forget your mask.
Get in a basket, sort of, yeah.
Exactly.
Dorothy, get in a basket.
Well, polite safety.
Right? Yeah. Well, what about, and so I've been doing little signs all over the place, like on little tiny things, nothing kind of in your face, but more subliminal with little cute sayings, you know, that remind people to put their mask back on. So maybe it's a little bit more subtle. You know, and it's worked actually quite a bit, because I'm finding that most people will be at the bar and they'll see the little sign. They're like, oh gosh, oh, forgot, you know, and put their mask on. Or I'll use the mask as a coaster. I'll tell the bartender, like, if you see somebody without a mask, use this pile of masks over here as a coaster, just as a slight reminder, right? Just something that's subtle, that's not so, you know, in your face. What about you guys? Anything?
Well, leaving masks everywhere, like very discreet, like as coasters in the table. So right. You put a little bunch of masks there and put a little bunch of masks on the near the bar or everywhere.
Right. Even in the bathrooms. Like even
the bathrooms, definitely, because I think everybody puts the guard down.
Yeah.
When they go to the bathroom, and I think they throw them away if they are disposable.
Yeah.
So when they're washing their hands in the little basket that we put all the tchotchkes.
Right.
Now our masks are included in that bag, in that little.
Oh, yeah. The little hand.
Our bathroom basket. So now it's another item for the bathroom list.
Well, you know. So I'm just sitting here thinking, guys, while I'm sitting here talking to you, that I'm having the best time talking to you two because I'm talking to you three because we're planners. We're all planners and we kind of understand like what the others are going through. So it's kind of refreshing to be able to actually have this kind of open, honest conversation to say, you know, what are you doing? Oh, my God, these people are crazy. But now that we're starting to see the light at the end of the tunnel, how are you kind of adjusting your conversations to, like, let's say next fall? Like, you know, my phone is starting to ring, which is amazing. Amazing. I'm so thrilled because, right? I know Brooke is like, yay, weddings. But, you know, but because obviously the vaccine is coming, what are your hopes? What are you seeing for the future? Bettina?
I definitely see trends. Like I said, I have so many Fridays of next year booked because people have been postponing since March. I just had a wedding postponed. That's in the beginning of January. Just because they were supposed to have 250 people and it was just safest to do that. So, you know, I think with 2020, I'm just going day by day. I hope it goes back to normal or whatever our new normal will be. Like this, everything started in March, which is the busiest time for us.
Right.
So we were really like thriving and going right in the middle of season and all of a sudden completely stopped. No one was talking. No one was, you know, working.
Right.
No one knew what was going on. So like, and every time I tried to plan something, it's 2020. So it hasn't really followed through. So I just hope that people, I think, and a big part of being a wedding planner is education, which Gladys mentioned earlier, and educating them, like, although, you know, a vaccine's out, how long is that going to be taking to implement it? You know, right now, like, we're just starting to roll it out. But what does that mean for weddings? Will it be done by January with us common people, not common people, but regular people?
No, We're not getting any of that.
So like, you know what I mean? Like right now it's just the mainly, you know, anyway, so.
Right.
What will that future mean and when will it happen? I feel that the hardest part of 2020 is that we're always so used to providing answers as planners. Mm. Like we're always able to have a solution, right? Like whenever there's a problem, we always come up with like plan A, B, C, D, E, F, G. And right. Then now people are asking me, oh, are we going to be good in February? And I always say like, I would love to take out my crystal ball and
right.
Like run a little few times and shake it up and see if I could see the future. And I just can't like, I remember having this conversation at my January wedding back in April, May. And they're like, are we going to be good then? And I was like, I'm pretty sure we're going to be good because it's like at the end of the year and we're going to have some. And here we are postponing it.
Oh, but, I know. I've had my foot in my mouth a couple of times. How about you, right. Gladys? What do you think? You know,
I feel exactly the same. I'm a little doubtful because in February of last year, nobody knew what was going to happen. And we were all hit by March with this invisible thing that totally took us back. We're now in an unprecedented time where we cannot plan. That's our biggest issue.
Yeah.
We are planners and we cannot plan. So I'm afraid of saying, yes, we're going to be okay, but we don't know if we're going to have enough vaccines for everyone by May.
Right.
We don't know how the vaccination is going. For example, today they started in London.
I know, thank God.
And they started just with 1,000 vaccines in one hospital.
I know, but everybody over the age of 80, and no offense, but nobody over the age of 80 are my clients getting married.
No, I get it. We discussed that we're already at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah,
we're
going to
be the last one unless we can prove that we're essential workers.
Exactly.
Which I feel like planners are essential workers. No offense, because...
But you know what? Real good thing would be that a planner or some group of planners would be involved in the rollout of the vaccine.
Right.
Because we're very good at planning. So that's the part that I wish we would know on how this whole thing works. And we don't know.
We don't know.
That we don't have the crystal ball, like Bettina said. Like, we cannot tell them, yes, we're going to be fine. Yes, the vaccine is going to work. When is the second shot?
Right.
I think about it. We're going to vaccinate everybody. But by the time they do the first round, they need to do the second round.
Yeah.
Well, and that's
so we're literally looking way beyond.
Well, and of course, Brooke and I are going, second shot? Okay. Never mind. I mean, especially.
Well, and I'm like, well, we usually do doubles anyway. So, like,
you know. You're like, what's,
you know, after the extra protection on shot two, which is actually four or what? I don't know.
Right, exactly. So, you know, but so I do. I find myself doing double planning at this point. And I don't know if you guys are going to agree, but I feel like I'm busier than ever. I'm doing more planning than I've ever done for the what ifs. And I am not the what if person. I tell my brides all the time, don't what if yourself to death. Make a decision, move forward. And yet I find myself in that position now doing what if. Okay, well, I can do it this way, but what if the vaccine's not out? So then I have to do this section. Are you guys finding the same thing, that you're what ifing yourself?
I think that now it's more of a plan A, B, C, not if the what if. Mm. But for example, in my case, I'm leaning more towards the virtual part until we know surely what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Like a very small ceremony with just the family and doing a lot of the virtual, bringing people in. I'm going to try and get to the picture on how cool it looks, because it's not the little boxes by Zoom.
Right.
It's something really cool design. So I'm leaning more towards that side of it and keeping everybody safe until we really know what's going to happen.
Well, I find my clients fall into two different categories. They fall into skydivers and people that want to watch from the ground, you know, because I really feel like I have like the ones that are like, let's go for it, gusto, let's make this wedding happen.
Yeah. Right? Skydivers. Okay, I like that.
And then my other part of my wedding are those that want to watch it from the ground, and that's my Zoom people. That's my, you know, my exact, you know what I'm saying, right? Yeah. So what have you learned as planners when thinking about how to create a successful Zoom event? And I'm going to throw that at Bettina first. Like, what are some of the biggest pieces that you've learned when it comes to a successful Zoom event?
Number one, don't do it with your computer. Just hire an expert. I haven't successfully done it. As a planner, I already have to juggle. But I think of the day, personally, the most logistic heavy part is right before ceremony. It's like when everything is just starting to happen, the guests are arriving, everything's seemingly, although you've been all there all day, everything's starting to like happen, and you're trying to like put out all the fires per se. And right. So of course the last thing you want to do is fiddle around with the Zoom to see if it's working, even though it worked 5 minutes ago and now it's like off, and you have to find someone's password and you got to do this, and then you got to make sure it's zoomed in correctly. I personally recommend just hiring your vendor. Typically most vendors now, videography, do provide that service. I mean, personally, how I prepare my future clients now is part of the budget. I include hand sanitizer, masks, and Zoom capabilities, as well as online invitations for the events in 2021. As part of the budget. If it doesn't happen, it doesn't need to happen. It's money saved, but it is realistically approaching the situation. This year we had 42 postponements, added another 43 now. So we're kind of the experts in postponing. So, you know, I don't do necessarily a what if, but like if it's plan A, plan B, plan C, and these are the things if this happens. Like I said, having that wedding the day before Miami curfew, like Miami shut down the day after my wedding, and they announced that the Monday, the wedding's Tuesday, they shut down Wednesday.
Wow.
So that is something unforeseen. I was like, oh my God, we missed
it. It's like a hurricane.
It's actually
like a hurricane. Remember the events that we had? And if a hurricane is coming, and then you go into postpone, cancel, get everything ready, it's exactly like that.
Well, for sure. Yeah, Hurricane Matthew, it was supposed to hit on a Thursday. It didn't hit. I had to move everyone from West Palm off an island because it's plant like evacuation A zone. And then all of a sudden, it didn't happen. So I had to move everyone back. And they didn't speak English. So it was so fun. But like, you know, that matter. It's just like making sure, I think, especially for people who try to have a little bit of a bigger wedding next year, just need to have a planner. And I know that sounds biased because we are planners, but it's just like there's so many what ifs and plan Bs and like so many small logistics. If you do have to postpone or have to change plans last minute, it's hard to do it on your own, even with family that are very involved.
But what if, for example, remember, Keith, that I asked you about this, the day of? Like, what do you think about the day of? Because there's so many ifs or so many plan A, B, and C that the day of doesn't work. Because you don't know what's happening. You don't know a lot of the behind the scenes.
Do you mind expanding?
Like, we lost our host.
Yeah, like, there's Keith. But like, Gladys, you mean like the
a
what?
Lot of the people want to cut corners now and want to say, okay, I don't need a planner. I have the venue. I already have the decor. I already have this. I just want to have somebody the day of. So well, I've been having to educate the people that the day of actually doesn't work because all the what ifs and all the safety protocols that need to be taken in place, that when you come the day of, you're taking a responsibility that actually is not yours.
Yeah. So
and I don't think we have anything. We're not even doing any day of right now.
Yeah, the day
I know of. And if he's working on that, I know for sure that he has all that happening. Like with us, it's like, okay, this is what we're doing. This is when it comes to COVID, this is to keep me and my assistant safe. This is what we're doing. This is what has to happen. And then if that's not going to happen, then I guarantee you Keith's not booking that wedding because now you're putting, you know, us at risk, not alone anybody else. Yeah. But everybody's been super cool. And so far what we've done has worked. And, you know, the first one I was a little leery about, but it was fine. We went through it. It was October 30th. And I'm excited for Saturday to come because we've already had the very first one. So now we kind of see how things are going to go. We kind of see the feel of how people are doing. With masks, sometimes, you know, like at the reception, they take off the masks. Whoops, you know.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of reinforcing that. And Keith has a little bulldog called Brooke Logan. So he's safe on that because I'm like, ah. So, you know. But that is very good. Like, I don't think anybody should be doing day of unless all of the protocol for COVID is
completely, you would be surprised. You would be surprised the amount of calls that I got in. Are you doing day of? I don't want to get a full planner. And we already have the venue. It's a very small. The excuse now is we cut and it's a very small wedding. So we don't need a planner. And now it's safety protocols. Now it's not about coordinating the flowers or the music or the things that we did before. Now it's about keeping everybody safe.
Right. I think that, like, if someone's trying that, like, as long as they, I mean, that's up to the planner. I don't know any planner that would take on that, unless they're super greedy, you know, without all that in place. Plus, and then at that point, if you're super greedy, do you care about your own safety? If they're not even having that conversation.
Yeah, I mean, I've received day of phone calls, but we always go over what exactly are they going to do for their wedding and what protocols are they following and like what venue are they picking? Because a lot of there's different venues that have
different rules and regulations. Yeah.
And also the districts as well. I'm noticing some districts are a lot more strict. Like some still don't allow dance floors, which I kind of, you know, I feel that people are super respectful about masks until it's like the dance floor. That's when they like kind of just take it off and just want to dance and drink. And at the same time, I think that's like the number one spot where people start taking off the masks. And that's where, you know, like what you do then, cause they are drinking. Cause technically if you have a drink in hand, you know, you can, I've had weddings that have the mask with the little hole and you can like where you can drink your drink and then close it back for the mask. That was a cool mask for a wedding.
Yep. But because you're the planner, if you come the day of, then nobody's there to give them those, to give them that advice or show them alternatives.
Right.
Like, well, now, for example, there's the cool masks that show your smile.
Right.
Or the embroidered ones.
Right.
For the wedding party.
Well, my, my day of package starts 6 weeks before the wedding. We don't actually just show up on the day of. So like,
and
so like it's planning and like, and if they say we don't have a mask for the wedding, then that would be addressed 6 weeks beforehand, not the day of.
Not the day of. That's what I mean. That we're throwing in a responsibility that's not, that's actually not ours.
And then what company, what event, you know, planning company wants their name tattooed onto some kind of horrible outbreak because rules were followed and all this kind of thing. So
whether I feel like
it's whether day of or it's the full package, there's always the five P's. Those have to always, you know, if you're doing that, either which other way it goes, then, you know, I feel like if you're doing that, then you're in the right, you're in the right mind space to keep everyone safe and yourself.
Totally. The other part was the budget. Like, I know that they're not saving a lot in the budget. What are the things that they can do, that they can do more with less?
Well, what I've been seeing with budgets is that if we go from like a 200 count to a 50 count, I have two types of clients. One will be like, oh, the money saved from that amount, we can allocate to florals and, you know, decor. I have the other ones where I would have to renegotiate with the venue saying, hey, this is a different minimum, but at least you still have the wedding going on at that time period. Are we able to lower that minimum? And that's where I would be able to save that money for the clients because they have 150 less people eating, drinking. But that depends on the client. Some of them want to relocate that budget to somewhere else in regard, usually with florals. Or more food, or more like a higher tier liquor. But that's what I've been seeing with the venues I've been working with.
Have you found, for example, the venues, because that was one thing that we discussed with Keith, that some of the venues tell you, okay, you can have 50 people, right?
Hmm.
But does those 50 people count as just your guest? What about the whole staff? What about the catering? What about either the DJ, the photographer? It adds up. It can add up to another at least 20, 30 people.
Absolutely. And I haven't seen that recently. Right when we started working again in July until like, I would say about 2 months ago, the people were like, the venues, like, for example, hotels were extra conscious. Like, we were putting on dance floors 6 feet distance. And are we accommodating the vendors when we talk about the guest count? Or are we just talking about the guests attending? But, I mean, like, maybe, again, it's based on, like, county I'm working in. Because I'm tri-county. I'm in, you know, I work in Palm Beach versus Miami. And they definitely, and Broward. Broward's, like, whole different world in regard to like rules and lack thereof. So, you know, it's really based on the county for me, but typically hotels haven't really asked me. Hello.
Creeper.
Hello, everybody.
Welcome back to your show, darling.
My goodness. I told you today the world of technical glitches. And this is, I can't even tell you what a fabulous day today has been.
I gotta like to talk a lot.
Oh my goodness. Well, and of course my computer completely froze up, but at least now I switched over to my iPhone. But you know, I think all of us can agree, Gladys especially, you know, thank God for iPhones. Like, thank God for iPhones. So anyway, so I just wanted to, since we're coming up close to our 45 minutes, I just wanted to kind of get kind of a last thoughts about where you think events are going to be for the rest of, let's say, the next 6 months. You know, so Bettina, what do you think is going to be kind of the world of events for the next 6 months? And what is your biggest hope?
My biggest hope, I just hope that people are just happy. Honestly, that's why we started a business, right? We want to see people happy, but it's just, I would like to see more consistency in results in regard to like, if something's going to happen, it's not going to change the following week where we have another protocol to follow and have to change everything for the week of the wedding.
Right.
I just would like some more consistency or like just, you know, we discussed the vaccine implementation and, you know, being as apprehensive as we can, but also hoping for the best, but preparing for the worst, right? Isn't that like kind of our motto as wedding planners? Like, sure, I hope this hurricane won't hit us, but if it does, what do we do? Right.
100%.
So, you know, I just hope that if people do end up doing a wedding, that they stick to it. They try not to, I mean, of course, factor in what family says, but if they're immediate, definitely factor in. But if it's extended, Zoom capabilities are fantastic. And also, like I said before, I think Friday weddings are going to be a brand new trend because people have been postponing since March. There's only so many Saturdays left in 2021. Right. So Fridays, I definitely think are going to be a big trend. And, I think masks are definitely here to stay as well. I don't think they're going to be leaving even with the vaccine personally. Again, yeah. I'm not an
expert. Or washing hands and hand sanitizer.
Yeah, 100%.
Wash your hands constantly.
If we learned anything, wash your
hands. Right, yeah, exactly. I can't tell the future, but like, I just think like just being happy with the choice you make and just moving forward with it and just go with what's going on and not really taking what others are saying to heart completely. Cause you know, just planning now is just unpredictable.
It really is. How about you, Gladys?
You know what? I'm a little more skeptical. I don't want to be in the negative side, but with numbers going up,
right?
Look, California just closed. So I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow if we cannot control the numbers. And if hospitals are overwhelmed, then neither of us have that crystal ball that we're going to get back again closed, that the venues are going to say, forget it. I just got a venue that I needed to do an event. It was just, I think it was 150 people. It was a corporate event and none of the venues wanted to do it.
Right.
They said, no, we don't want to take the risk. It's a lot of liability. I'm so sorry. And no. So I'm a little more skeptical in that sense. That's why I want to gear more towards doing more of the creative side of virtual events for now until we see some kind of control. Because remember, we're in Florida. We haven't gotten that in control right now.
Right.
Look at New York. New York is going up again and they don't know what's going to happen.
Well, it's
planning for the unplanned.
Well, and I think that here in South Florida, we are, I think, a specialist when it comes to planning for the unplanned because of hurricanes, because of what we have to deal with here in South Florida. So I think that our clients are obviously have the benefit of years of being under fire, so to speak. But, you know, I think that all of us can agree that what we're going to try to do is plan for the unknown, like we've been doing, with our fingers crossed that humanity somehow figures it out and that, you know, next year at this same time, we're not talking about this because everybody will have been vaccinated. All right, everybody.
Try to look at the glass half full instead of
right. Glass is half full.
Half so hope.
That's hopefully that would be the yes.
So I just want to say thank you to everybody that came on the show today. We had, I have to tell you, never in the 34 episodes have we had any technical glitches like we did today. But I am so happy that we had the people that we did on because all of you rolled with it. So, I just couldn't be more happy about the fact that I had planners because nobody else could have rolled with this right? Like you guys did.
You were like, okay.
All right. So next week, we actually have the president or the CFO of Allseated that is coming on Behind the Veil. So I hope everybody joins us next Tuesday at 2:00. And until then, everybody say goodbye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Thank you.